And I think that we need to talk about these things instead of, you know, not thinking about it and trying to avoid the issue. And I think the reason we want to do that is because God calls us to that. And we don't need to be afraid because we have the greatest God, right? He's the only true living God. We've been learning that in Thessalonians. And so we want to hold on to that and really grasp it. I was reading a story about a pastor who shared very humbly about the first time that he preached. It happened to have been in India, where he wound up being a very, very big influence in India for many years. His name is Stanley Jones. And he said that he was so nervous about getting up to share about God, you know, as a sermon for his first time. And he got up there and everything went wrong. And he said some kind of a word. I forget what it was that he said, but he was trying to say a word and it came out all wrong. And he saw this one girl sitting there and she started laughing and she put her head down because she was, you know, because he made a blunder like that. And he got really flustered by it. And so I hope this never happens to me. but he, at one point, he just said, "I'm really sorry, everybody. I forgot my sermon." And he stepped down. He went down. You know, he was going to leave the pulpit. And then at that moment, God spoke to him and he said, "You know what to say. Why don't you just say what I mean to you?" And that was God speaking to him. And he went back up to his place and he started to share from his heart instead of, you know, feeling all nervous and trying to do everything great and think about these different things and being, you know, new about something or something like that. And he just shared from his heart. And I think that he helped me a lot when I read about that. And it had an influence and God really used him in a big way. You know, it's the same kind of thing in our lives. We walk around as people who go to church a lot and we read the Bible and a lot of us grow up in the church and we have a familiarity with the Bible. But really what God wants us to do is to get it out and to share with people. So it may come out wrong, but you can see through Stanley Jones that even in a wrong moment, God takes that and makes something good from it. Amen? So we don't have to be afraid. But what we want to do is we want to say and also do what we know in our hearts is the truth. If you know the truth and you know what to do, then say it. It reminds me of another pastor who was talking, you know, that was very shy about getting up and saying things that needed to be said because this other pastor was above him. And he felt intimidated by those kind of things, and he also didn't want to feel like he was prideful. But at one point, the senior pastor just said, "Do you have something to say?" And he said, "Yeah, I actually do." He said, "Well, then why don't you say it?" You know, we put off saying what we know is truth too long. And it's time. And we live in times right now, everybody, where we cannot afford to not say what we believe. It's time. Amen? It's time. It's time for us to be salt in this world. And to listen to what Jesus is saying to us and be that salt. We always have to be struggling with our sense of pride. You know, I can tell you very honestly that there were times when I was sitting there listening to someone speak and I was thinking I'd love to have the chance to do something like that until I got into that position and then I realized how terrifying it is. You know what I'm saying? When you really think that you can do better than people until the time comes for you to actually be in that position. And if we're smart, we will learn from that pride that is at work in our hearts and know that if not for the grace of God, we would not be able to do anything. That we would not have any breath to go into our lungs. And this is what wise people who know the Lord and know the Bible and know life and experience life know as truth, that their life is only because God has given it to them and every breath that they take. And but for the grace of God, you know, we could also be in a very dangerous position. And we have lived through serious situations like the AIDS virus and different things like that in our country and seen people and felt helpless about it. But I think what God was putting on my heart was, I may not say it in a perfect way today, but I have to share with you that I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way that we can have life in this world. And that is because he has died for us. He has not just spoken about it, but he was the salt. Really, he was talking about himself, I believe, when he said, you are the salt of the earth. I made salt so that you can know what it means to work my goodness and preserve this world that you're a part of. We think that salt exists so that we can shake it on our food, which is true. It does that, but as in everything that God has made, it has another purpose to it. It has another meaning to it, and so we want to be alert to that in our lives and say, "Why? When I'm shaking that salt on my steak, what is it doing to that steak that is going to teach me about what I'm doing in this world and my purpose in this world?" Well, it's a preservative, and it also brings this taste out. You know, it's funny how the Spirit of God works. I wasn't really thinking of this today in preparation for my sermon, but I was thinking, but it came to me while I was praying. It says in Psalm 34, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Right? Taste and see that the Lord is God. We live in a really, really big, what do you call the foodies? Foodie culture. Right? I mean, we're really blessed. I have a sister who lives in West Virginia, and she, I'm telling you, they have a very, very small choice of where to go for a meal. They live in the mountains. And so it's a big deal when they have a chain come in there and open up, and it really doesn't actually last that long because there's not enough people there that can afford to go out. But we live in a really, really privileged area, you know, and we have a lot of different choices and all those kind of things. But it's good for us to use this opportunity of taste and to thinking about that and putting on my tongue is even starting to feel like it's going, you know, thinking about these kind of things. But the taste is there for us also to learn about God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. That is a word that we need to take to heart during this time of virus and the coronavirus and the other flu virus and any other kind of a thing that is going to strike us here in our land or in any country at all. You know, it sounds strange, you know, to think this way, but I believe that God is going to do something good in China. I believe that Satan is at work. I know that there's different opinions and people feel like, okay, there's sin. And I do believe that sin is at heart of all of the evil and the disease in the world and things like this. But we have a Christ named Jesus who came to save us from sin. And so therefore we need to remember that and we need to be bold in times like these when people are afraid with the gospel and let them know that we possess the words of eternal life. Right? And at the same time, what we need to do is learn from salt that we are willing to be brave and go out and talk with people and mix with people and even go into places where we might lose our lives for the sake of other people, right? These hymns and the things that we sing are great for us as a body of Christ, but we're really supposed to go out as his messengers with these things. And so we're equipped as a praise team and whatever it is that you do in your life, singing hymns as a person in this, you're not just singing hymns to praise God. You are doing that when you're here. But at the same time, when you're growing up in a church and you hear all those hymns, they are your source of good news. They are your resources. They are the way that you speak to other people. Right? And that was the purpose of them, to praise God, but also to be able to share the gospel with other people. They're living inside of you. Right? So that you don't want to keep it inside. So we need to be salt. We need to think of ourselves in that way. We are God's preservative in this world. That is amazing, and it's very humbling. But if we think that we in ourselves have anything to offer, we're wrong. It comes through Christ living in us. If we only go out and represent ourselves, then we are not getting the message of Christ. It is His power And it is His name that we want people to know that is going to preserve them and help them. Right? And so there's many, but we need to be convinced of that, that we have the answer that people need to hear, and God is going to encourage us to open our mouths and to make it make Him come out all wrong, just like I just said something, you know, but do it. There's a lot to be learned in the wisdom of people, you know, just in saying that you learn through experience. Is everybody good at something because they do it for the first time? Is there not a rule of thumb in the places we are in school and that we are in college or in our workplaces, you know, different things, right? A lot of times when you're young and you're in school and you see other kids doing things really, really well and you can't, then you feel like, oh, you know, I don't want to try that. I don't want to do that. That's wrong. What you need to do is remember that you can learn from the things that you haven't been able to do, right? If you fail, if you lose, right? I was recently, I was around this little girl who was like, we were playing this board game, and she was all happy because she was beating me every time. And then it happened that she rolled the dice and she had to go backwards, right, in this game, and oh man, she just couldn't deal with it. She was just like, I was feeling so bad, but I was like, honey, you gotta also learn how to lose, don't you? Don't you have to learn how to lose? I mean, you're getting all upset. You can't win all the time. And so there's a lesson in not being able to do things, but we are not the kind to shrink back as Christians. We go forward. And I have some news for you that Jesus Christ was killed, and He was the Son of God. And He was bringing life to people, and they killed Him. Right? And that's the Savior that we have, who was willing to put His life on the line. He went and He hung out with people who were drunkards and were the lowly of the world, the people that no one wanted to be seen with. And those are the people that He wanted to hang with because they were honest. Right? And they needed Him, but they knew that they needed Him. It was the other people who had everything figured out and thinking that they were perfect that had the problem. Right? And He knew that. And they should have seen that. And He wanted them to see that. And we need to see that too. Right? Jesus is a God who is not just staying up in heaven and looking down and saying, oh, you messed up, you know, you bunch of miserable sinners. He is the one who sent His Son and said, I'm going to send Him down and He is going to rescue this world. And so what we need to do is reflect on that as Christians when things happen in the world where there's trouble. Let me read you a few more words of this psalm. Come, listen, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and His ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And so we can know that God is really feeling for those people who are suffering in China right now. I don't know what is going on there. We're not living there. We have no idea, but the people there know very well what is going on there. So what can we do to help them? Well, we can certainly pray to the Lord to help them and comfort them and to come into their lives. There are things that God can do in situations like that that are impossible for us to understand because we're not God. He is God. And He can come into those situations and He can work through the death of people too. There's nothing that He can't do, right? But it is a wake-up call for us when these kind of things happen. We are not to say, this is not interesting me, and I better just go and hide so I don't get it. And I better hide or not touch people so that I don't get it. Princess Diana was very, very famous. You remember, I don't know if you guys know her, but she was the princess in England. And the biggest impression that she made was when the AIDS virus came out and she went and held babies who had the AIDS virus. And she made an impression on people that really was lasting, and people became very, very, you know, amazed by her and loved her because she was willing to put her own self on the line and to do those kind of things. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. You know, I think that, you know, what I said to the kids is true, isn't it? We want to be used for a purpose, but, you know, what purpose are we, what are we serving? Well, we want to go and be this salt. We want to be that to these people. And Jesus is warning them. He says, how shall its saltiness be restored if it's lost its taste? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. And so we do not want to be salt that has lost its taste and its effect. We want to be here for some reason. You know, so think about what it is that God is calling you to do in your life. What is it that he wants you to do in your life? You don't know until you ask him. You don't know until you give your life to him and say, you know what? I really, really want to do this, and this is what I have my heart set on. But God, you know, if you want me to do something else, it's hard for me to do that. But God, with your strength, I can do that. And when we do that and we put our life into the hands of God like that, we will see amazing things happen. And he's true to his word, right? Taste and see how good the Lord is. Taste it. Try it. Right? Be aware when you're eating and when you're shaking salt on something or putting some flavor in there. Look at it from God's view. Take a look at it from his view and ask him what it is that he wants you to do in your life. The other part of this is really exciting too. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Why did God create light? Somebody. So we can see. Right? Right, so it's very simple, isn't it, to understand the Bible? Why do we have light? So we can find our way. God wants us to find our way, so he sent his son Jesus into the world and into all the darkness so that we can find our way. Now you see, if I can say something like that, you can say something much better. You know, whatever God puts on your heart to say those things, but what, say something. Say something with your life. Don't think about it in any other way. Think, I have got God's light. He has his light shining in me. I'm going to be his light, and I'm going to follow his command. I'm going to do what he says, and I'm going to see where it takes me. And you know what? It says, if you want to follow me, I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will not be lost in the darkness anymore. That's a powerful verse in John, in the Gospel of John, right? Right? God made light to disperse all the darkness, to take it away, and that we can be then used as his light is a very exciting thing. God, help me to be your light today. When you get up in the morning, you can say that. God, help me to be your light in this time when I'm going through a struggle and things like that. Help me to be light. Help me not to be self-centered. Help me not to draw back. Help me not to go into the darkness and hide under a rock. Help me to stand forward and take hold of the hand of God and proclaim his name. And say, I am going to stand fast in the name of Jesus Christ because I believe that he saved me from my sins and I believe that other people on this planet need him. If we can be afraid and we can be concerned about the health of people with coronavirus, can we not wake up and be concerned for the death of people because of their sins? Can we not? It is not just a momentary thing when something comes up. That is a sign from God that there's trouble. Right? That there's something wrong. Right? But he's in for the long haul. He's not just here to help out so some virus can find its end. He's in it for the long haul. And he sent Jesus to show us and prove it to us. Death of my son is what I'm going to give. That's what I'm here for. And that's what he demands from us too. We need to know how important God is. What is God saying to you? What do you know in your heart that you have not said that you can begin to say? In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Let your light shine. What a great verse, right? Before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. And so good works have their place in our lives like that. I want to show you, do you mind showing that picture? Do you have that photo? Yeah. This is a woman that got my attention when I was reading the newspaper the other day. Her name is Layla Janna, and she died at the age of 37. The article that I was reading was actually an obituary. She died at the age of 37. She had a rare kind of cancer, and it took her life. But it says here, she was a social entrepreneur who employed thousands of desperately poor people in Africa and India in the fervent belief that jobs, not handouts, offered the best escape from poverty. She died January 24th in Manhattan. She was 37. This is what her story was. A child of Indian immigrants, Miss Jana traveled to Mumbai, India in about 2005 as a management consultant to help take an outsourcing company public. Riding through the city by auto rickshaw, she passed an enormous slum. But after arriving at the outsourcing center, she found a staff of educated middle-class workers. Few, if any, of the nearby poor were employed there. Couldn't the people from the slums do some of this work? She recalled thinking in an interview with Wired magazine in 2015. It proved to be a galvanizing moment for Miss Jana, who called the intellect of the poorest people in the world the biggest untapped resource in the global economy. She went on to start Samasource in Nairobi, Kenya in 2008. Sama means equal in Sanskrit, with the aim of employing poor people for a living wage in digital jobs like photo tagging and image annotation at what she called delivery centers in Kenya, Uganda, and India. The workers generate data that is used for projects as diverse as self-driving cars, video game technology, software that helps park rangers in sub-Saharan Africa prevent elephant poaching. At least half the people hired by Samasource are women, the company says. Layla had a vision about bringing the dignity of work and the promise of living wage to the world's most vulnerable. Kennedy Odede, the founder and chief executive of Shining Hope for Communities, a grassroots organization in Kenya that has worked with Samasource, said by email, through her work, he added, young people began to see different possibilities for their futures. I can go on and on about this woman. This woman died at the age of 37, but she did what Jesus is calling us to do. She saw the poor, and she used her education and she used her vision to help people that were not being paid attention to at all. It's an amazing thing that she was able to do all of these different things. I can't remember the number, but I believe when she died, she had helped 11,000 people. 11,000 people, poor people, that she simply drove by in a rickshaw and saw there and used her talent and her intellect and her ability and influence to use and to make a difference. She was working. And so those are the kind of people that inspire us and remind us as Christians of the things that God can do through us. I don't know about her faith background. I don't know anything about this woman, but it got my attention. And she not only helped the poor, but she helped the women of India in a big way and made a statement in that way. What can God do through you? What can God do through you when we open our eyes and we look and we're salt and she's going through the areas of all the poor people that are living in this desperately, desperately poor area of India, right? What can God do through you? What can you use your mind for when you start to look away from yourself and you look to the needs of other people? And that's what Jesus is calling us to, right? We cannot afford to let people die. Our life is a life given to us by God, and He has given us that command. You are the light of the world. Bring my gospel to them. Bring my good news to them, but also help them. Show it in an active way, right? Let your light shine. Let your light shine. And these works that you do in different ways like that, God is an amazing God, and He can help us to do that, to take your talents and put them at work. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in China. All I know is there's a lot of attention. Much of it is negative in Hong Kong and also in China. But can God bring something good from that? I believe He can. I believe that there is nothing that God cannot do, because it says so in His Word, and He showed us time and time again through the Bible. And you know what I'm talking about. The stories that we're teaching and the things that you've learned since you were young are pointing that out. But we need to be proactive in this world as the ones who are the light And we need to be looking for ways to make a difference. And the way that you do that is not by thinking, I can't, or I won't, or I got to protect my own self first. It's by reading the Bible and understanding that Jesus says the opposite. That we are to go out and to mix with people and to help people who are down and out. And we need to engage ourselves and use our minds and the things that we're being educated for in school to help other people. It's not about us. It's about the people that God has put under our watch. Right? And we have people in our watch that we need to help. And so I'm excited by talking about this today and looking out and seeing so many people who are capable of using their abilities, God-given abilities, for the kingdom of God. And helping people and to change things around from what are we going to do? This is a terrible thing that is going to take over the world. And say, wait a minute. God is in control of this world. God is in control of this world and He must know what's going on there. Let's seek Him. And let's pray. And let's approach His throne and say, Lord, You know about people like this woman who gave her life. I want to be like this person. Not just driving by and then saying, forget about the slums and all the people that I saw there, but to use our minds and think, I just passed by all these poor people there. What am I going to do about it? And that's when big things happen. When we obey and we do what God asks us to do as His light in the world. It's an amazing thing that we have such a great God, such as we have. The other thing I want to close with is that we have a short-term mission trip coming up, right? We have a short-term mission coming up, and it's for youth. And so that is a great opportunity for us to do what God is saying to us to do. You are the light of the world. So what you need to do is as I mentioned last week, is you need to look at your relationship with Jesus, and you need to follow Him. Right? You don't go there. Right? You follow Jesus. Obey Him. Obey the command. Follow me. I am the light of the world. You can do nothing with me without me. We had a leaders a board, and Minister Can and I went off on a few hour retreat yesterday, and we were reading the words of Jesus talking about abide in me, I'm the vine. Right? Abide in me. You can do nothing without me. So why would you want to go and do something in the name of Jesus Christ if you don't know Him and you don't follow Him? Follow Him. It's so simple. Salt is such a simple concept. Be salt. Such a simple thing. Why don't we do it? Can somebody give me an answer? Why don't we do it? What are some things that get into our way? Laziness, okay, comfort, yes, feeling overwhelmed, okay, did everybody hear that? We feel overwhelmed on an individual basis, but if we as a community think of what we can do, then we can do great things and put it together. Anything else? What else keeps us from doing it?
What if I find something that doesn't work?
Okay. What else? What else gets in our way of doing something? Huh? Doubt? Okay. Doubt in ourselves, you mean? Okay. What else?
Fear.
Sir? Desiring the things of the world. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we hear these things, and this is good for us to talk about. I think it's good to get it out in front of us this kind of a way instead of me just pounding at you each week and talking to you about it. But we as a community talk about these things and then we put them out there. And I think the way it works from my experience in working with companies is that you put out all of the different things in front of you and then you look for solutions to them. One of the most powerful things that I learned in working with AT&T was, you know, coming up with solutions for the things that we face. You know, and how are you going to find a solution for that? How are we going to work together for that? So, you know, our first focus is God and with Jesus, and we know that we have the source of the power in Him, and He can do all things. But He also tells us that we're light and we're salt, and so how are we going to take that as a community in Christ and say, okay, so how are we going to put our minds and our hearts together to do that and take care of those issues and the challenges that we have just listed? Right? So I think it would be good for us to begin now to do that, to put those things out there and think, okay, we want to be mission-minded. We haven't really been as effective as we would like to, so what can we do to address that? Identify the problem, the issue, the things that we're doing, and then bring God into it and say, Lord, we need your help to be able to get through these things. And when we have that, then the Holy Spirit speaks to us and shows us the things that we need to do. It's not easy. Right, to admit that we have these kind of feelings and these tendencies, but it's time. Because there are people dying in China, and we're responsible for them. And there are people that are sick in our country, which is becoming more and more atheistic and going farther and farther away from Christianity. What are we going to do about it? We are the light. We are the light, and so we need to address those things. And God can show us the way to do those things, and we can be inspired by these different people, and you can say, wow, that was a great example. But one thing that you could say was, well, I'm not her, right? That's a great example of a person who really made a difference in the world. But that's not going to help. So what would be the answer to that one? What would God's answer be to that one? Well, I'm not her. God can use you. You are the light of the world, right? And then let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and what? Give glory to you? No, give glory to God, who is in heaven, your Father in heaven. And so the good works have that emphasis of saying, I'm going to give glory to Him, right? So isn't it easy? It's easy, and there's so much that we can do. And I know that God is going to use us for His glory in this way. He has given us this word today for us to look at for that purpose. So let's pray about it and go to work at it and see when we shake this, you know, today, when you shake the salt on, remind yourself of being salt in this world, right? When you turn the light on so that you can see in the room that you go in at night, remember that Jesus is the light, and He makes you to see. Amen? Let's sing a song that reminds us of this. Christ be our light.